How great God is. Good to have you all here worshiping with us tonight. I welcome you here on this eve of Pentecost 4. Our gathering song, How Great Thou Art, verses 1 and 2. A few announcements that I'd like to highlight for you. First of all, I want to begin with a thank you. 8 days in the hospital was not exactly what I had planned on. As you know, our dear friends, Covenant members, Michelle and Dean Paxson had driven all the way by car from Tacoma so that they could worship with all of us and so that they could spend a couple of days with us. And things don't always turn out the way we like to plan. As St. James says, be careful about saying, well, today I'm going to, tomorrow I'm going to, next month I'm going to. One ought to say, if the Lord wills. And so we leave all things into the will of God's gracious hands. Also mindful of Joe, and we continue to, Jeff, thank you. The twins, they always confuse me. But in terms of Jeff, I'm glad he's home, and I hope that they can get to the bottom of his health issues too, but we keep him in our prayers along with Christy and the family too. So thank you for covering. I know Pastor Voldemar and Julie last week and previous week, Don and my daughter Jenna, and I'm so grateful for all the saints and for the holy work that you do and that you carry on. So thank you so much. I also want to give a shout out today to one of my prayer warriors, Wyona Scholes in Little Falls, Minnesota. And today, with her family, she's celebrating her 90th birthday. And so Wyona, I know you're listening to this each week, along with Peg and Brad and them. So just know that you're in our thoughts and prayers. And I thank you, Wyona, for your prayers for me and for our congregation. August 8th, we're going to have a mini VBS, one day for 2 hours, And so if you want to help with registration or with the refreshments that we'll do or arts or crafts, just send me an email or a text or give me a phone call. It's just going to be a quick and easy thing, but it's a great way for us once again to kind of reclaim the opportunities that God is giving us on His holy land, the church land. Summer concert series, don't forget that once a month our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in St. Charles, is hosting an outdoor concert. And this week is the first one, 6:30 on Wednesday evening, and more information in your bulletin as well. Let us pray. For those who love you, O God, you have chosen and prepared what no eye has seen nor ear heard. Pour into our hearts a loving affection for you, that we may choose you in and above all things. For only then shall we have what you promise, which far exceeds all we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We rise for our service of light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
A light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power, resurrect us from the dead. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars that grace the darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song. Love that fills the night with wonder,
love that warms the weary soul,
love that bursts all chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. Let us each reflect your light. Mother God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our way, loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day. The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation. Congregation may be seated for our psalmody. Psalm 141 is around, women following Julie, group one, and men, group two.
Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen. We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading is from Job 38, beginning with verse 1. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? And what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The children's message has been recorded and is on the Facebook page, and we encourage you, it's based on Psalm 130, to tune in and watch that. At this time, we'll sing our song of the day, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The tie that binds is the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been washed in that atoning sacrifice, and we've been made members of the family of God. And so on this Father's Day weekend, we remember what the scriptures poignantly proclaim. There's only two fathers out there. There is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Father of the way, the truth, and the life, the one who incorporates us into this eternal kingdom. And then there is the Father of all lies, Diabolos, the diabolical one, the ancient serpent. He lies from the beginning to the end, and he is a thief who seeks only to steal and kill and destroy. And so on this Father's Day weekend, we have an opportunity once again to remember whose we are and whose we are not. Satan has no control or power over us, for we belong to our Heavenly Father, and we are His children, safely in His bosom gathered. Well, I had a sermon prepared a couple of weeks ago, because I think that sometimes when we hear the word family, we think too small. We don't think big enough. I mean, there's family, and then there's family. And family sometimes seems the best of us, or they sometimes see the worst of us. Years ago, I was teaching a class for Cub Scouts. In the God and Me series, they would get religious badges, and it was called God and Family, and they would be making pizzas. Because every pizza, you know, is a little bit different. There's a variety with the crust that you can order, and with the sauces, and with the toppings and the cheeses. And in the midst of that class, I wanted the kids to understand what it means to be a family. You see, in the same way that we can have our creed, the confession of faith, and we can say that we believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that small C compared to the big C, Roman Catholic denomination like Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, etc. So I told these kids and their adult mentors, I said, think about the same thing when it comes to family. I said, you've got the Holton, right? Household, right? You've got the Wallach household. You've got the Nelson household. I mean, we could go around. We got a whole bunch of families in here, right? Households with a big capital F. But all of us together, cleansed through the redeeming blood of Jesus, become members of the one family of God with a lowercase F. It's important to remember what the scriptures say about family, because oftentimes we throw that around and we'll say things like, well, you know, our church, it's just this close-knit family. Well, what does that mean exactly? Or some businesses and some companies will say, well, this company, this business, well, we run it like a family. And then I say to myself, well, what does that mean? Does that mean if I have a flat tire, I call my boss up and say, can you come over and change my tire or send somebody here to give me a ride to work? If I've got a fire and I lose, I can't live in my house, I can just call up my boss and I can say to him, well, you know, my wife and I, we need a place for 3-4 months, and I know you've got 4 or 5 bedrooms, no problem, right, Daryl? You know, I mean, is that what it means to be family? Someone dies in the family, and we say, well, here, I've got these funeral expenses, and because we're family, you're going to pay for this, right? I mean, isn't that what family does? Well, think about what we mean by family. And that's why I didn't want us to miss what happens in Mark chapter 3 from 2 weeks ago. Because 2 weeks ago, with that particular text from Mark 3, we see St. Mark making his first sandwich. Do you know what a sandwich is, right? That sandwich that Mark makes is called a family sandwich. And I'm going to explain that to you. First, I want to make sure we all understand what it is to either purchase a sandwich or to buy a sandwich. Maybe it's egg salad, maybe it's tuna fish, maybe you go to Jimmy John's, or maybe you like to go to Subway. Maybe you like to make your own, like a Dagwood sandwich or a Reuben sandwich. I like to go to Culver's. They've got this grilled chicken sandwich, which, well, it's not cheap, but it's high in protein and it's low in fat, which is something I have to watch in my diet. So, a sandwich. We all have our favorites, right? And St. Mark, if you didn't know it, loved to make sandwiches. His first sandwich is in Mark chapter 3. Let me set the plate for you. Because what happens is Jesus has healed a man with a withered hand. And once he has healed this man with the withered hand, it's on the Sabbath, and the religious people, the leaders, are all up in arms. They want to destroy Jesus. You got 6 days to do this. What do you think you're doing? Doing it on the Sabbath. Are you crazy? They want to destroy him. But the crowds, they see him casting out demons. They see him healing people who are sick, and they are all following him. In fact, they're pressing upon him and almost consuming him. Jesus appoints the 12 apostles and sends them out so that they can participate in this ministry of healing and in this ministry of casting out the demons. In other words, working against Satan and his army, if you will. Well, then comes these words from St. Mark. Jesus went home, and the crowds followed him and pressed upon him so that he didn't even have the leisure to eat. Well, when you're making a sandwich, you start with a slice of bread, then you've got all the fixings in the middle, the meats, the cheeses, and then you've got the other slice of bread. The first slice of bread is about family, and the second slice is about family. When Jesus' family heard that he was beside himself, maybe they wanted to protect their reputation in the community, but they immediately went to get him. And you and I both know, we all know that, well, if you burn the candle at both ends, if you are not watching your exercise, your diet, no nutrition, it can have physical and even some mental consequences upon human beings. And so maybe Jesus was dehydrated, who knows, huh? But they said he was beside himself. And here comes his family to take him away. The first slice of bread. And then at the end of that story, the second slice of bread is where the crowds say, "Oh, your family's here, Jesus." And he said, "You got that right. Whoever does the will of my Father is my sister, is my brother, is my mother, is my family." You see what happens there? St. Mark is helping us to see in this family sandwich that he's making is that we oftentimes think too small. We can find everything to a matter of our households and how we do almost anything and everything. We'll drop everything when there is a family need, a family crisis. But how big is our understanding of family? How large is our understanding of family? I mean, when you're in the hospital for 8 days, you realize that there's going to be some people that are going to be just working, doing a job. And there's going to be other people who will, in fact, care for you with the love of Jesus. I mean, like your family, even though you're a stranger that they haven't met before. So there's family, and then there's family. There is this biological stuff that's temporary here on earth, and then there's the family of God, the family of faith, saving faith in Jesus, which is eternal, which is forever in heaven. And St. Mark wants to make sure that we don't miss that. It was in my first parish, 1983, a few years ago, that the parsonage was, well, pretty close from me to Bob here, for example. I mean, from the parsonage to the church building. And so we arrived in September of 1983, and I went walking over to the church, and out of the church was a woman, a member of the church, named Barb. Barb Preslicka. And she looks at me and she says, "You must be our new pastor." And I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "I'm Pastor Dave." And she said, "Well, I'm Barb Preslicka." And then she proceeded to tell me that in the church family there, Grace Lutheran, they couldn't afford a custodian, and so all the households, the families with big Fs, would divide up into groups, and then throughout the year, they would each take a month, and they would be, you know, scrubbing the bathrooms and the windows and vacuuming and dusting and everything, and taking care of the church building. the whole family of the church with all the individual households and families united in a common task. And Barb, she just explained that to me, and then she began to introduce me to her family. She was talking about her husband and the farming they did and her kids and her grandkids, and oh my goodness, it must have gone on for 5 or 10 minutes. And then she took a breath, and I said, "Wow, you must really love your family." And she looked at me so seriously, and she said, "Pastor Dave, I'd do anything for my family." And you know how I replied? I said, "Well, that's good, because I'm your family. We're family." Now, she looked a little bit bewildered, a little confused, as though somehow what I had said was beside myself, or maybe even crazy. But you see, there's this proverb, you know, about how blood is thicker than water. But if you're like me, you know how confusing that is. Because are we talking about the watery womb of gestation? Are we talking about the biological blood, you know, where we kind of mark ourselves down a family tree? Or are we talking about the covenant of blood? Like Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed, when he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins." Are we talking about that watery grave, the womb that places us into the church, the body of Christ, where we are in fact washed with the atoning sacrifice, the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and made members of the family, the forever family of God? Blood? Water? No wonder in the Gospel of John that when Jesus dies on the cross on a Good Friday, that he is speared in the side and blood and water come pouring forth. You see, there's family and then there's family. And we dare not think too small when it comes to the family of faith, the family of God's forever kingdom, his people. A sandwich. That's what Mark is making. A sandwich that has two slices of bread, and they're both about family, helping us to expand our view and to see things in a deeper and more fuller way. And in the middle of that sandwich, well, there's some pretty good meat. I mean, they're calling Jesus, you know, Beelzebub, the chief of the demons. And Jesus says, "Well, that's just pure nonsense. It's illogical. It doesn't hold water. It won't work because me and the disciples, we're casting out demons. And if Satan is working against Satan, well, then his kingdom is already doomed. So let's move on. Point two, you want to know what I'm doing? Well, let me tell you a story." And the story he tells is a parable about the binding of the strong one. Who's the strong one? The devil himself. And so on a Good Friday cross, Jesus binds the strong one, Diabolus, the father of all lies, the evil one, right? He binds him, and then he descends into hell. And he plunders the household of Satan. And he sets the captives free. The lost souls are saved through that watery, atoning grave of Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, that's what Jesus is. He's the stronger one who binds the strong one and plunders his house. And then he gets to the third piece of meat, and that is about the unforgivable sin. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who creates faith in us. And Jesus says there's only one sin that's unforgivable, and that's when you call good evil and evil good. The sin of unbelief, because you have to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior to be saved. And if you harden your heart, if you become calloused, if one takes this costly grace of God and cheapens it and spits in the face of Almighty God, well, then one has removed oneself from the family of God. And one has, in fact, committed oneself to the family, which is known as the Father of all lights. And that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that is unforgivable. Not because God desires it, but because a hardened heart desires it, as unthinkable as that might be. Two slices of bread with lots of meat in between. What does it mean to be family? And how is it that the family of God proclaims the truth? Well, Bill's a pastor, and he loves to do clown ministry. I did that years ago when I was a camp counselor, looking at the clown as the suffering servant of Jesus. Well, Bill does workshops. And a while back, he did a workshop in a large city. And when he finished, everyone had left, and he was packing up his stuff to head home. And the phone rang. He looked around. He didn't see anyone else there. So he thought, well, I'll answer the phone. He answered it. And the voice on the other end said, "Are you a minister?" And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I am." He said, "Come to the hospital, room 433, right away. Our daughter is dying of leukemia." So Bill said, "I'll be right there." He hung up the phone, and then he proceeded to drive down there. And it wasn't until he entered the hospital and was going up the elevator that he suddenly realized he still had the white paint on, the red nose. He still had the green suspenders and orange hair. But you see, when there's a family crisis, an emergency, you drop everything and you don't worry about what you're wearing, right? And so he goes to the room, 433, and he proceeds to enter, and he said, "I'm Pastor Bill." And the father, he said, "We asked for a minister, not a clown." And the little girl, Susan, sitting lying in the bed there, she said, "No, this is better. This is better, a clown, rather than a minister. And Daddy, please, can he stay?" And so, of course, the father said, "Yes." And so Bill was there, dressed in his clown garb, and he told the stories of Jesus, and he sang songs to her, and he held her in his arms, and then she breathed her last. But her last request was this: "Will you come to my funeral?" And so a few days later, when it was little Susan's funeral, Pastor Bill was there with, you know, his white face and the red nose and the green suspenders and the orange hair. And he preached the sermon, but he didn't say a word. And they celebrated a hope that is indestructible, that is everlasting through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there were some who said, "You know, I don't think this is good, having a clown here at a funeral." But there were others who said, "But little Susan, she heard the story of Jesus and his forever love." And that's what we're celebrating today in the midst of our sorrow and our tears. A sandwich about family and how family drops everything when the need arises. But sometimes our picture of family is too small and needs to be enlarged. It's St. John who says, "He came to his own," Jesus, the light of the world, the Word of God. "He came to his own, but his own people would not receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the power to become the children of God." members of the family of faith who were born not by the biological blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of a man, but the will of God. Family, the family of God. And we've been immersed through the death and resurrection into this eternal household of faith. In 1947, there was a young preacher, 32 years old from California, by the name of Bob Pierce. And he went over to China, and there were these massive evangelical crusades, if you will, massive gatherings, and by the tens of thousands, people were converting and coming to saving faith in Jesus, even though Bob Pierce, the preacher, this 32-year-old, didn't know anything about the Chinese culture and didn't know anything about the Chinese language. The Holy Spirit was just working. And there were even people that were members of the bodyguard of Chiang Kai-shek's, you know, the general, 20 of them that converted and came to faith in Jesus. And there was a Dutch Reform missionary by the name of Tena, T-E-N-A. And she said to Bob, I need you to come tomorrow, and I need you to tell the 400 students in my school about Jesus. And so he did. And several of those kids, they came to faith in Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. And one was a girl named White Jade. She went home and she told her dad, Dad, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And you know what her father did? He beat her mercilessly. And he booted her out of the family. Orphaned her. And so White Jade came to Tena and said, what do I do? And Tena came to Bob Pierce and said, another one? What do you expect? You're bringing all these people to faith in Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit? What are you going to do about White Jade? And Bob pulled out his billfold, and he had $5 in there. He said, here, you take this money and take care of White Jade. And every month I'm going to send another $5. And then he came home and began to tell the stories of what was happening in China, of people being saved by the grace of God. And in 1950, World Vision was established so that other Asian children who were booted out of their family might know what it means to belong to the family of God, the forever family of God. So you see, this sandwich that Mark is making is no small thing. Jesus, your family's outside. They're asking for you. Jesus, your family's here. And all Jesus can say is, you got that right. You. Whoever does the will of my Father is my mother, my sister, my brother, members of the family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our Holden Evening Prayer Liturgy. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will." My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart.
We continue with our litany and closing prayers.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
In peace, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that on this Father's Day weekend, we can be mindful of those who have served in our lives as dads and fathers, those who have protected and provided for us, those who have guided us in the way of faith, saving faith in you, Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks for fathers who are faithful and for those who struggle and seek to do your will. Lord, we pray also for healing, for those that we name silently and out loud, for those who struggle with cancer, for those who are battling all kinds of illness and disease. We're mindful of Jeff Bomhoff, and we pray, Lord, that you would give wisdom to those who are seeking his healing and understanding his heart. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless us so that we might, as your people, your family, be a blessing to others. And Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, you taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our sending song, Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult.
Christian.